Hi, everybody. I'm Joshua Danziger.
And I'm Ethan Canfield.
Today is Thursday, September 9th, 2021.
And this is The Young Perspective, where we talk about America's biggest political and social dilemmas from the eyes of two high schoolers.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Young Perspective. Today, we're taking a topic which we learned in school and converting it to an episode that is applicable to our country and our nation. So in school, in our 10th grade history class, we are learning about the Inca Empire. And one of the interesting aspects of the empire was they employed a system of national mandatory labor where conquered citizens and any regular citizen had to go and serve the federal government and do different duties to maintain the empire.
So this was called Mita.
This is called Mita or Mita, something like that. But they built roads and they farmed and they maintained land and they worked in the churches. So people had to dedicate a couple months a year to the federal government so everything could run efficiently. And it helped create a surplus of food, a surplus of goods that extremely benefited the Inca economy.
And so how does this apply to today? Well, currently there are about 30 countries in the world, or maybe a little more, a little less, that use a mandatory national service. This means that they require all their citizens to go into the military or some sort of civilian organization run through the government to help out the country and protect the country and provide certain goods
and services.
Yeah, certain goods and services for the nation. But a country that does not do that is our country, America. And so we're going to talk about how this would actually affect America if this were to be implemented.
So a system that, like other countries have, would make 18-year-olds, once they graduate high school, go and serve the government in some form. So in most countries, they employ this by mandatory national service and going to the military. Men, and a lot of times women too, are conscripted for a 2-year period or a 3-year period, something like that. And that helps them, maintain a strong military. But also, this acts as a national equalizer. The poor, the rich, different races, they all have to go into the military and, go through basic training, the same experience, be miserable in the military together. It acts as a national equalizer. If they, a lot of countries, people don't want to do that. They feel like they don't want to go to the military. It's against their values. So a lot of countries offer different alternatives where they'll let them do a civilian service. Well, they'll do community service. They'll help maintain cleanliness in cities. They'll help
or infrastructure,
or they'll fight forest fires, or they'll do something in the civilian service to benefit the nation that may not be going to the military.
And another reason why this is important is that, as Josh said, this is important because it brings together citizens. Right now in America, we're very divided, we're very polarized in terms of economics, in terms of race, ethnicity, and also political opinions. And so this would be a system which would put everyone together and it would force people to get along because, they're living together, they're working together, they're relying together, they're relying on each other. If you're in the military, you have to trust each other. You have to put, your lives in your comrades' hands. And so, if you're someone from a completely different perspective, location, religion, ethnicity, and you're coming all together with people from across the country who have completely different perspectives and opinions, then you maybe will understand, okay, they come, they have this opinion. I might not agree with them completely, but I respect them. And this would maybe start to heal some of the cracks that we're seeing in our country.
Yeah. So a lot of the proponents to an idea of mandatory national service believe that you're going to take people. America's a very diverse country, one of the most diverse countries in the world, right? We have people of different ethnicities and races that descend from different countries. So they want to take all these people and put them together in a melting pot so everybody has a very similar experience. And a mandatory national service, either through the military service or the civilian service in other countries, has known to help teens mature. So they're done with high school, but they may not be ready to go to college or enter, the workforce. They need to mature. And 97% of people who had taken gap years after high school said that it increased their maturity. So taking a little time in between, what you're finishing high school and going on with your life has benefited teens and graduates, according to most studies. They become more mature and ready to enter the adult life.
So I've actually had a lot of conversations and met a lot of Israeli soldiers who served in the IDF and the Israeli Defense Force, that's their national army. They actually have mandatory service for all men and women after they graduate high school. They have to go for a few years. And all of these people have told me that this is a life-changing opportunity, a life-changing experience. It's something that really gave them perspective and also allowed them to grow and learn as an individual and really help them mature, go from, you know, young adulthood to really adulthood. And they felt afterwards they were ready to go on into the workforce and continue their lives. And maybe they weren't really ready when they graduated high school.
And what's interesting about Israel is they have a lot of religious members of the population. So they have this mandatory conscription to the army for both men and women. But what do they do with these religious people who don't want to join? And a lot of time they give him another option, which is serving in the civilian service. The national service there, and they get to serve in educational roles a lot of the time. So they go into schools and they help teachers. They support the country. They help maintain roads. They pick up trash along the sides of streets. They're doing whatever it takes to keep the country running. There have been many proposals by the U.S. government to have a system like this. One congressman, I think his name was Congressman Rangel.
Yep, you're right. Charles Rangel.
He was a bit in favor of it. And in the early 20-teens, he actually proposed a bill called the Universal National Service Act that attempted, you know, to make national service mandatory. He proposed it five times. All five times it was unsuccessful. It wasn't even heard on the House floor.
So also, another pro to this idea is that it would actually save the U.S. government a lot of money. There was a study done by the Center for Benefit Cost Studies in Education, and actually found that youth service programs across the country cost about $1.7 billion, but that they actually returned $6.5 billion each year. So this, while it costs, you know, a good amount of money, it actually gained way more money, and it's a great investment. So this would allow us to gain a lot of money, especially, you know, in our military that could use more funding, but not just in the military. Also, as Josh was saying, we can be used domestically in our civilian programs.
So what's interesting about instituting a program like this, the Constitution says that we can, you know, have mandatory conscription to the military, but the Constitution says we cannot have involuntary servitude to non-military for non-military uses. It says neither slavery nor involuntary servitude, except as a punishment for a crime whereof the party shall have been duly convicted, shall exist within the United States or any other place subject to their jurisdiction. So many say having, you know, a national mandatory service that is not the military, that's civilian, is like slavery. And to some sense, a social program like that is like slavery if you're forced to go into it, and every 18-year-old has to go, or the military, but, you know, they have to do slave-like work. They're not getting paid. They're volunteering, but forced volunteering.
Who knows if this national service program would be unpaid? I could see a situation where you would have to go to the army or you have to go into the service program and that you would be paid, just that you would have to go, but even though you have to go, you still get paid. You still get some sort of
but that's involuntary
housing and some sort of food and board. But also, I could see you getting some sort of payment.
But that's involuntary servitude still. You're still serving involuntarily, even if you're getting paid. And that's against the Constitution, the 13th Amendment.
So while it might be somewhat against that, you could make an argument that it's not the same thing. I find with lawyers would be able to do that. Though it might pose some difficulties in the courts. Which is hard considering that, you know, it is the 13th Amendment in the U.S. Constitution. You know, you can't just get around that very easily.
But, you know, a lot of people propose a solution that's not a mandatory national service, but it's a voluntary national service like the voluntary military service we have now. But they would add a civilian aspect to it where people could volunteer to go serve and do different duties that the civilian service would do, and the government would house them and board them and feed them. But then they could also grow like members of the military do personally, you know, as older teenagers and young adults. And they could serve the communities around them. They could serve in underprivileged communities. They could serve in national parks and, you know, help the country.
Right. And there's been this throughout the years, really. The biggest example right now is AmeriCorps. So this is, you know, this is a organization run by the government, and this allows, you know, volunteers who are civilians to come and help out America and basically do, you know, what this will be doing, civilian service, helping out with really anything that this would be needed, maybe infrastructure, maybe volunteer work in food banks, stuff like that. And this, you know, is a good example of that already in use.
But the problem, and that's true, but it would need to be expanded significantly, because what I read is that for every one spot available in the AmeriCorps, you know, the organization Ethan was talking about, there are 15 capable and qualified applicants. So 15 people are applying and are qualified for the one spot. So there's not enough, you know, broadband in our country to have a civilian service like this. That's why it needs to be expanded.
Oh, so if you sign up or, you know, volunteer for AmeriCorps, you don't just automatically get,
you don't automatically get into the
organization.
No, you don't. So you have to go through an application process, just like Teach for America, which is another huge organization not run by the government, but it has a very challenging application process, because there are way too many people who want to go and volunteer, but there's not the opportunities. If a government organization expanded, you know, to be able to serve these people who want to serve their country, I think it would add great value to the communities around our country.
That's really interesting. Definitely, if that wanted to be more successful, it would need to be, you know, pushed out, expanded across the entire U.S. and where anyone really could join and find some sort of role. It would work better if, you know, there was a role for anyone. You don't have to have some prior experience. Maybe they could train you, or they can find what's best for you. And also something that's important to note is that Americans aren't too opposed to this. About 49% Americans found that they actually favored a national mandatory service, while 45% were opposed to it. But young adults were actually, you know, less likely or less, less happy about it. About 37% of them wanted the proposal, and about 57% were against it.
So what's interesting is the older people who wouldn't have to go do it are the ones in favor. They want the young people to go and work, and the young people are the ones that are going to have to do it, don't want to do it. So
it's classic human nature. People who actually have to go through something aren't going to want to do it, and the people who are older and who have already, you know, passed the age that would be required for it, they don't care. They would want people to work for them.
This is going to conclude this week's episode of The Young Perspective.
Yeah, thank you everyone for listening. Remember that every week we post on Fridays. Check us out every week. You can go to our website to listen to our episodes at theyoungperspective.net, or you can also check out snippets from each of our episodes on Instagram, which is the_young_perspective. And if you want to give us some feedback or reach out to us, email us at theyoungperspective. Wait, what is it? Email us at ejtheyoungperspective@gmail.com. Thank you everybody for listening once again. And remember,
this was The Young Perspective.